Raising the Bets is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to Raising the Bets, a family podcast of pirates and penguins. We're a Catholic couple raising five kids outside of Boston. Join us as we share the joys and challenges of marriage, homeschool, and our adventures near and far as we make sense of the world and experience the best parts of our culture. I'm Dom Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
So another eventful week here on the Bettinelli Homestead.
Yes.
as we wind through the holidays. This is really the tail end of the holiday making, although we're still technically
still holiday
in Christmas. Yes. I mean, the things we have planned to celebrate the holiday are pretty much run through. I mean, we don't have anything on the calendar for, you know, the baptism of the Lord or Michaelmas, do we?
Actually, I was just talking about how I haven't made a king cake yet. We didn't really do an Epiphany dessert, and I think that we're overdue for one.
Okay.
So that's on the schedule for this week.
Because we're Taliban Catholic.
What?
that's what Jim Gaffigan calls like really serious Catholics.
Taliban Catholic.
Or Shiite Catholic is the other thing that maybe he calls it too.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a joke. Maybe not funny to some, I guess. But yeah, but we're super serious about it. We're not as serious as some people, but we do celebrate the whole Christmas season. So let's step back to last week. It was New Year's Eve. We had a rocking New Year's Eve.
We did?
We did not. let's see. What did we do? We sat in separate rooms for most of the night watching TV.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I was watching.
Or you were reading, probably.
I think I was reading. I don't know.
And then around 11 o'clock or 11:30, I said, oh, I should get out that bottle of Prosecco that you bought.
Yes.
And then I turned on Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve and then immediately turned it off because, oh my gosh, was that, because Dick Clark's nowhere to be seen anymore, obviously. It's Ryan Seacrest and some wide-eyed pop star, this woman who, like when you're on live TV, you have to be able to keep the patter going, and she's just babbling, like, to no end. Anyway, not...
this is why I don't watch live TV. Yeah. I cannot handle people babbling at all.
Yes.
And I have no patience for babble.
And it was drunk babbling, so it was worse.
Oh,
so,
that's the worst.
New Year's Eve TV is kind of funny that way, because everybody's drinking.
I have to listen to enough kids babble all day. Like, why would I want to turn on the TV and listen to more babble?
Adult babbling.
Yeah, that's even worse.
That's also why we don't watch political debates.
Yeah, that's the worst kind of adult babbling.
So I mean, that was it, pretty much. We toasted the new year. We drank some Prosecco and then to bed.
And then we went to bed and we got up for Mass the next day.
We did New Year's Day Mass, which was nice. 9 o'clock. Ben and Bella both served, which was nice. And then we came home. And what did we do? We had some mimosas with the leftover
Prosecco, which is really, honestly,
that's really the reason.
90% of the reason why I buy it is not because I want to drink it. I mean, it's nice to have a little toast at midnight.
Yeah.
But really, it's for the mimosas the next day.
Gosh, when I was a kid, I thought, you know, being an adult on New Year's Eve was like the most adult sort of thing you could do. It's very sophisticated and elegant. My parents used to have parties. Yeah. It's just not a thing for us. Did we do anything besides go to Mass New Year's Day?
I don't even remember. I think I was gung-ho about trying to go, like, take a walk and get out of the house, and then we did not.
I think the weather wasn't all that great either, so it wasn't like...
It was warm. It was just cloudy.
I think the kids have gotten in this... The weather is bad in their head mode. Like it's,
yes,
it's winter and you can't go outside.
Yes, they don't want to go outside. Outside is boring. There's nothing to do.
And it's been
they don't want to be outside.
Except for a short stretch in December, it's been an unbelievably warm winter. I mean, it has been above...
It was an unbelievably cold December, though, so you can kind of understand why
they
got
still
it
get
into
it in their head. Yeah.
That it's cold.
Once we get them outside, they're out there. They can be outside for a while. They have some fun. They play some games. I think the key is going to be convincing them to play with some of these toys outside.
some new stuff that they got.
Right.
So that's going to be part of it. So let's move off of New Year's Day because it was boring. Friday. Friday was the big day. Friday was probably the second biggest day of the whole holiday period because it was January 3rd, which meant it was the day, not only was it Lucy's birthday.
Which is really big.
Which is big because she's the youngest. But it was also the day that everyone got to go to see Star Wars.
Star Wars Day.
We were counting down.
Lucy thought it was like the best birthday present ever, by the way.
Oh my gosh. So, yes. Like it was the first showing we could get the whole family to, seven seats together, or near enough to be together, like as in like a group of four and a group of three in two rows. since before Christmas, since it opened, it was the first one I could get. So we had to wait and wait. And they were counting down the days. Everybody was like, made sure they had their Star Wars t-shirt ready.
Yeah, Ben did not wear his Star Wars t-shirt for like a whole week just to make sure it would be clean for Star Wars Day. And Lucy almost had a meltdown because she couldn't find her Star Wars t-shirt of the morning.
Right. And I mean, that's funny, like Ben, because some kids would be like, I'm going to wear it every day. And like, you would like, they would wear it till they drink. Ben is, this must be clean. For that day. I cannot wear it till that day.
Right.
Anthony would wear his every day, I think, if he could. His X-Wing shirt.
He has two of them, though.
He has two X-Wing shirts?
That's why he wears it all the time, because there's two exactly
did
the
not,
same.
Did not realize this, but that is sounds so like my son.
Well, it was one of those things where I bought it for Christmas, and then I sort of forgot you bought it. Well, no, I miscounted. Like, I just went to Target and bought a whole bunch of the Star Wars shirts.
Oh, okay.
And then I'd also ordered some online, and so I ended up with an extra shirt. And so I just, like, stuck it in the back of the closet. And then one day when he was, like, bemoaning the fact that he didn't have a shirt to wear, I was like, oh, yeah, I have...
Super Mom!
I have a Star Wars shirt that's just like your favorite Star Wars shirt in the closet. So now you can have two. And he was thrilled.
And the angels sang and she walked on water.
Yes. He was. Oh, yeah.
Well, we got to the theater. We got there right on time. Although I have to say we watched like 15 minutes of trailers. It was a lot of trailers. And right at the end of the trailers, like I think during the last one, Ben says, I need to go to the bathroom. I'm like, no, I did the old Darth Vader thing. I'm like, move. So we ran out to the first bathroom, which the theater we went to was not in good condition. So all of the stalls were broken except for one, which was occupied. We had to run to the other side of the theater to go to the other bathroom. That stall was available. He's never used the bathroom faster without going into detail. And then we're right back in there in time. It was so close.
Yeah, and at that point I realized that I really wish that you'd got me a Coke, but there was no way I was going to leave the theater to go get a Coke.
No, yeah. We were in for the long haul. And so the theaters today are, as everyone listening probably knows, are so very different from when we were kids. Like we had those cramped theater seats, you know, the like boom 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 right next to each other. They weren't all that comfortable. They were terrible. They weren't bad, but now they're like these huge recliners. It's like sitting on a couch.
I was talking to somebody on Facebook this week who said that all the theaters in their area were not all the big comfy recliners yet.
Really? Oh, okay.
I think it's just us.
I think New England, we get a bunch of big lazy butts. But in ours, in fact, you can lift up the divider between two seats and scooch together, which is kind of awkward when it's like a big biker dude you don't know.
Well, actually, the divider was missing between the seat of mine and Ben's, and I was so very glad that it was my son sitting next to me, and not some, like, strange person, because that would have been very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, there was that one time I leaned over and put my head on the biker's shoulder, and it was very awkward. But this time...
Never happened.
No, never happened. But so I had Bella on one side and Lucy on the other, because I had seen the movie, and I knew which scenes were likely to be the ones that would upset them most, especially Lucy being, you know, seven. So actually Bella did really well. I didn't feel like there were times when she was like, need to run out of the theater.
Yeah. Well, she's
you know, she's almost 14. She's 13 and a half. I mean, she's getting there where she's not needing to run out of the room anymore. But there were a couple times when Lucy kind of was sitting more in my seat than in hers. Yeah. But there were, I don't want to give any spoilers, but there were a couple moments when we, when something happens on screen and both Anthony and Bella, who were sitting to my left, would turn and look at me with that look on their face, like, no way. You know, usually somebody shows up, or for Anthony, it was seeing a particular ship because, you know, yeah. Anthony's about the ships. So it was a big hit. Everybody loved it. That's why I love going to see Star Wars. I love experiencing Star Wars with the kids, because so many of the adults fans online are just blah. They're cynical about it, or they see the flaws, or the, you know, and maybe there are flaws there, but the kids, they love it despite any flaws. They don't see the flaws. They love it unconditionally.
This is true.
And that makes me happy to talk to them about it and experience it with them.
It was really fun to see with them.
Yeah. We went to an early showing. What was it? 11:45 was when it was supposed to start.
Yeah, something like that.
So it probably started around noon with all the trailers.
Yeah.
With some of the trailers actually were worse than I expected. Not horrible, but I wouldn't prefer to show them some of the kids those trailers. But and then home afterward. And then our family tradition, as we probably have mentioned before, is on birthdays, whoever's birthday it is gets to pick where we go get dinner. I don't know how much longer we can sustain this tradition of everybody going.
I noticed your sister's family has switched to one. The birthday kid gets to pick a parent and a restaurant, and they do like one parent, one kid.
And because as they get older, they're gonna eat more. It's going to get more expensive, and maybe we should start at some point, like maybe with Bella and then Sophie, like as they get older, start switching. I know the younger ones will be disappointed.
Yeah.
When they're excluded from the restaurant trip. Although one thing that we do, which we didn't get to do this time, is that the tradition that we started with my mom and dad, who live local, taking the birthday kid out for breakfast. And then taking them to like Target or something to buy a present for them or something.
Yeah.
So
that wouldn't have worked this year because of the movie. Lucy movie.
Yeah. So, but that actually still may happen. But so Lucy chose. It's hard for her to choose because she's the so many things she can't eat, and so the options for her are limited. Like everyone else's favorite restaurants are great, but the only thing she can eat at those places is grilled chicken and broccoli, you know, which is not exciting. So we ended up going to one of her favorite places, which we often go to on her birthday, which is the Vietnamese restaurant, the Pho place.
Oh yeah, she got. 3 spring rolls.
Yes. For, you know, with little Lucy, that's a lot of food.
And that
food.
Was pretty much like her meal.
Yeah.
It was 3 spring rolls.
It was good. Yeah. And, it actually worked out really well. You know, I get the pho, you got that really awesome shrimp dish.
Yeah. It's like a fried shrimp paste. Like, it's like shrimp paste wrapped in bean curd and then deep fried. It's like
it's better than it
and
sounds.
Crunchy. And then there's also this like shrimp paste cake, which I think it must be steamed or something. It's like shrimp that's been ground up into a paste and then formed into a cake and then cooked, probably with some kind of spices and seasonings, which sounds really weird, but
really good.
It's really, really addictive. I get it every time I go because it's just so good.
Yeah. See, I get the pho every time I go because I don't get pho often enough. And so when I go, I want to have it, but I want to try the other stuff too. So it's really kind of frustrating with that. But it was good. It's always a good night out. They're in less expensive. It's not as expensive as it could be. You know, some of the places are. You know, the pho is relatively inexpensive. Although the price has gone up, I have to say, over the last several years.
Well, we've been going for like
almost 10 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I'm pretty sure Bella went there for her birthday the first year we lived in this house, which
probably
was, I think, when she was 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so the price has gone up over the years, but it's what's really nice is that town, it's the very next town over from ours, and there's a very large Vietnamese community there. So there's lots of different Vietnamese places and options. And there's that place that sells the sandwiches, the banh mi. Mm-hmm.
I've never been there.
We've got to get over there sometime because those are really good. And they sell some soups too. They have the Hue spicy soup. which is really good. Anyway, so that was dinner on Lucia's birthday.
And then we had birthday cake, of course. I made the birthday cake. It's an almond flour cake with a little bit of tapioca starch to kind of keep it from, I don't know, texture.
Yep.
And then, and frosting. It had with a coconut frosting, coconut cream and almond butter frosting, vanilla, lemon flavored.
Yeah.
So it was very lemony. The cake
very
had,
moist.
The cake had like a lemon syrup drizzled on top, and which was, I think, maybe overkill. I think we probably could have stitched the syrup and just had the cake with the frosting.
Yeah.
But I think the frosting, I finally figured out how to make a decent dairy-free frosting.
It was a little thin. It could have been a little thicker.
I forgot to add some extra tapioca starch.
Ah, okay. So, but yeah, you're right. We're at the point now. You're at the point, not me. I don't make them. You're at the point now where these cakes and desserts that you're making with the almond flour aren't just like, oh, you know, here's your allergen, you know, consolation prize. These could be a cake for any occasion. These are really good.
Yeah, they're tasty. In fact, like the other kids really just like those as cakes.
I wouldn't be surprised if a child says for their own birthday, I'd like one of those almond cakes at some point. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's really good.
But yeah, the first almond flour cake I made actually was before Lucy was diagnosed. And it was a clementine almond cake. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a tradition of almond flour cakes, Spanish almond flour cakes.
Right. So and Italian, too. I think this was actually a Sicilian cake.
Was it?
The clementine interesting. One.
Oh, I think I remember that now. Yeah. So that was Lucy's birthday. And, of course, we do presents in the morning. This is, I think we might have mentioned this. I don't know if we've had birthdays since then, but
we must have
maybe Ben's birthday, I think. But as a reminder for any new listeners, we have the kids open their presents, their birthday presents in the morning when they get up before or after breakfast. What do we do before breakfast or after breakfast?
Well, depends on who's breakfast.
Right. It depends. But the logic there being, if we go out to dinner, then it's race home and race to open the presents just before they have to go to bed.
And then they don't get a chance to play with the presidents. And
Or the presents. They can play with the presidents, but they can't play with the presents.
Yes.
Well, Ron's here. I'm not a crook. I can do all my president impressions now.
That's quite all right.
Yeah. So they open their presents in the morning. And so she got... what did we get? See, it's really, again, this is a Christmas centric birthday. So
she got a big fleecy Star Wars blanket.
Oh, yeah.
And a little baby doll. She wanted a baby doll really badly.
A little boy baby doll.
How
do you know it's a boy, Melanie?
Because it's wearing blue.
And it's anatomically correct, apparently.
Yes, Lucy discovered that, which the Amazon
listing did not say anything about it. That is a big thing to overlook.
What else did she get? And she got a couple books. Actually Scottish themed books this time. Mm. She got The Secret of the Ronmore Scary, which is the book that, if you've seen the movie, The Secret of Rowan Inish was based on. And this a version of Tam Lin, which is an old Scottish folktale.
I am now typing the names of these. What was the last one? Tamlin?
Tamlin.
So I can put links in the show notes.
This Tamlin version is gorgeous, beautifully illustrated, and it's from a Scottish publisher that I just discovered while I was looking for Christmas and birthday presents. And I think I'm going to be going back to their site and ordering more of their books. They do a lot of Scottish folk tales and fairy tales and traditional stuff and beautiful.
We should go
books.
Visit them.
We should. We should do a field trip to Scotland.
A field trip to Scotland. Woohoo!
Land of my ancestors.
Okay. Stop and see Fergus MacFarlane Barrow.
So anyway, what else? And then my parents sent her birthday presents too. So she got a weighted blanket from them. So she got two blankets. And then she got a little boy rag doll. So she got two dolls.
Very cute.
It was very cute. And I think that was it.
So here's the thing. So we do, we have Santa's gifts are on Christmas Day.
Right.
And then Lucy's birthday is on the Epiphany, or, you know, just on the third.
On the third.
The third, I'm sorry. Because what I'm about to say. And then your family tradition is family gifts on Epiphany, which is right. either the Sunday after New Year's Day or the 6th, whichever it comes for, whichever it actually is. And so this, it's easier to do it on the Sunday.
We tend to do it on the Sunday.
Even though it's not really the Feast of
it's
Epiphany.
Fake Epiphany.
Fake Epiphany. But because of the, it's not a holiday, if it's during the week.
Then you have to work and then.
Yeah, we have to kind of work around the right. things. And that way, if we just do it on the Sunday, you go to Mass, you come home, you open your gifts.
Right. And it works okay.
And that's what we did. But what I was going to say was that the trick here is because your parents often, you know, send things that they've purchased on Amazon for the kids. The packages will show up the week before and they'll have the kids' names on them. But sometimes they send packages like to you and to me, and we don't know whether these are things that we ordered, things that we ordered for the kids, or if they're gifts from your parents.
Oh, right. So, like, is this something I ordered?
Because we've got these things
as a
coming
present
too.
For the kids, or yeah. is it something my mom ordered as a present for me? And then sometimes I have to like just hand you the package and say, "Here, can you open this and see if it looks like something for the kids or for me?"
Right. Or what I did was like I opened the bottom of my package and I saw that there was the Amazon gift receipt thing in there. Didn't look at it, what it was. Closed it. Taped it up and put it under the tree.
That's handy.
That was it. Well, I was lucky.
Their gift certificate was on top.
Yeah, they usually, on the bottom, actually. They usually throw the gift receipts in the bottom. So that's how I figured that.
Oh, I see. So yeah. You opened it bottom first.
Yes, I opened the bottom to peek in to see if I could see where if those receipts were in there. And I figured you wouldn't be able to see what the packaging said from the bottom either. Usually they put whatever is in it, you know, with the label up. That was my hope anyway. Because I had bought some things that I was waiting to arrive for me, like for, you know, around the house. So, because I think it came at the same time as I got my subscribe and save. So I've got like, you know, pistachios and dishwasher liquid, you know, the dishwasher soap, you know, in another box with it. So, but yeah, so that's the tricky thing of how we do it. And plus, and with Lucy, because of her birthday, is these birthday presents, is it Epiphany presents, you know, so.
Right. I'm always having to kind of juggle like. Okay, what should I give her for her birthday? What should I give her for Epiphany? And
right.
like,
and what's Santa going to give her for Christmas?
Yeah,
and that's you got to kind of when your birthday is right around Christmas, that's the kind of juggling any family that has this has to do.
Well, I'm kind of used to it because my sister's birthday is the day after Christmas, so we've done the birthday Christmas shuffle.
Right.
I mean,
for your whole life, basically.
My whole life, basically.
Yeah. So that was nice. And then let's skip to Sunday, because Saturday was, I was recording with Jimmy. We did three episodes of Mysterious World, which were fun. There's some interesting fun and well, interesting. One of them was more of a tragic, but very interesting story. And you have to listen to those in February. Those are going to be really good. And then on Sunday, we got up, we got to Mass. We all got there. I think getting to Mass. The troubles we had this fall, I think we're kind of overcoming them. We've adapted, but also we're better.
Yeah.
You know, those troubles. So we all got to Mass. We got there a little later than I like to get there. Let's just say that. But I'm trying to be calmer about getting everyone out the door.
Yes.
I'm trying to be less stressing. Like, I don't want to stress others with my, all right, let's go. Which is, you know, I know it's stressful for me to do that, but I get stressed about being late. So but we got there and Ben and Bella got out there in there and got their robes on and they got ready. There was all another server who was there. So she'd already lit the candles and that sort of thing. So that was good. And nice priest, another African priest, random African priest who's like studying at a local college and helping out on the weekend.
Yeah, this one was from Kenya.
Was he from? OK, I didn't
he
catch
said,
that.
He said no, because he said he told a story about. Nigeria, which is where our pastor is from.
Yeah.
And he said sort of in parenthetically, I'm from Kenya.
Oh,
and I was visiting
that.
In Nigeria where Father Michael is from. And so, yeah, that was part of his story about.
Yeah. Very tall.
Very tall.
Very tall. Like he towered over Bella, who is by now is as tall as most of the priests. But yeah, he was very tall. Like very interesting. So I don't remember anything from the homily, unfortunately.
Oh, he talked a lot about. Presence, being present, not like giving presents,
but presence. Like
your presence. Well, actually, he sort of made a pun because he was talking about how your presence is a present, which you give to other people.
Yep.
And the importance of being present with people, physically present, and also like giving yourself, your gift of your presence to the people in your life. It was really nice. Yeah,
my presence in your life is a gift. I know. The gift that can't be returned, no receipt. So anyway, so yeah, it was very nice. And so then we came home and opened Epiphany presents. That went well, I think. What do you think?
Yes.
Everyone was pretty happy with the various gifts they got.
It's always tricky because there's always somebody who feels like they got shorted.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Christmas is always sort of a balancing act in Epiphany to be making sure that no child feels like other children got more than they do, but also making sure that each child feels like they got something off of their wish list and that somebody's been, you know, the presents are thoughtful and appropriate. Well,
simultaneously maintaining that this is not like we do not getting gifts is not a measure of love.
Right.
You know, like that they're not all about how much loot I got either, which I feel like they are pretty good about that. They're kids. So obviously they love getting
There's a little bit of the how many boxes did you get versus how many boxes did I get? And did you get the same number, which is so tiresome.
And frankly, it's a good lesson to learn a little bit of that disappointment. You know what I mean? A little bit of it.
Right.
That life isn't all about everyone getting the same of everything every time. And that's sufficient.
So this year, everybody got a book. As usual. Actually, I think everyone got like two books except Lucy, who I thought I'd ordered two books, but I didn't. Oh,
but
well.
She just had her birthday the day
but
before.
She just had her birthday the day before and got two books there. So I think that one of the books was supposed to be an Epiphany book or I don't know.
Right.
Like I said, it's confusing.
Yeah.
And then everybody got like a small item. We don't go big. Yeah. Bella got a reading lamp for her bed, which she's wanted for a while. And Sophie got like a scarf and gloves and a little stuffed penguin. Anthony got three Slinkies.
Yes, I said three because one of them is already dead.
Yes.
Tangled. Which, you know, you have to get that sacrificial Slinky.
Right. They've never had Slinkies before. So I figured the whole three. I had originally thought maybe I'll like divide them up.
We had plastic Slinkies when Bella and Sophie were little.
The boys didn't even remember those.
No, I don't think they did.
No. Anyway, Ben got.
So I gave him not today, but yesterday. So yesterday was Epiphany.
No, but I'm trying to think
we got the Lego set, the car, not the one from today. But so I get review Lego sets.
You're throwing me off though because I can't remember what I was trying to remember.
Okay, sorry. You what else did Ben get?
I don't remember now because you just you interrupted and distracted me.
Okay, sorry. But I was just like I was going to say talk about how like I made a mistake in not being definitive about whether the Lego set was for him or not. Yeah, and so I kind of gave it to him, and then I kind of said, "Here, it's for you to put together, but for everybody to play with." That's really that was a mistake. Just I should have either gave it to him or said, "This is for everybody."
Yes, you were waffling.
I waffled because yeah. So it was a mistake.
I thought it was for everybody because otherwise he would have ended up with a lot bigger gift.
Well,
than
he was a little.
Else.
He was a little. The thing that got me was he was a little off on put off on whether he actually got as much as everybody else, so I got a little worried there that he was gonna that he didn't, and so I overcompensated. I waffled and overcompensated.
No, he was put out because the presents that my parents had sent, there was one box that was coming later in the week.
Right. It's not here yet.
Yes.
And oh boy, do we hear about that. So yeah, he got the Asterix book.
Yes. And I'm blanking. I'm totally blanking.
I don't know. Well, if you think about it, we'll bring it up later.
And then Lucy got.
It's not the most important thing in the world that
anyway.
We list everything they think.
Yeah, yeah.
But little
suffice things,
to say, everybody
yeah.
got something. They got some nice things from their grandparents, and that was very nice.
Yes, it was very fun.
And then then the rest of the day was a bit chaotic. By the way, I completely skipped over Saturday night, which was when the Patriots lost in the playoffs, and everyone was very disappointed when they woke up in the morning, and I had to tell them that the Patriots were not going to the Super Bowl and Tom Brady may be done playing football. And there was much gnashing of teeth. So let's skip over that part and go right to Sunday afternoon. It was our monthly pack meeting for our Cub Scouts.
Right. So we didn't really do it like in a special Epiphany dinner.
Right. We would usually do something nice, although we'd had some nice dinners for both New Year's. I'm sorry, for both Christmas Day and Christmas Eve.
Right.
But we the theme for the PAC meeting was New Year's Eve. And now this apparently is a New England thing. But apparently in New England and not other places, and you could tell me if I'm wrong on this, people order Chinese food. Chinese food is big on New Year's Eve. I remember when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, let's order some Chinese food for New Year's Eve. It was the thing.
It was definitely not the thing, at least not in my family or.
Well, in Texas, it's what, black eyed peas or something? Right.
We didn't really ever do anything special for New Year's. I mean, I know some people do.
Yeah.
But I didn't experience the black eyed pea thing until I was like in college and then friends did it.
OK, well, so the idea was at the PAC meeting, the kids would decorate like New Year's Eve crowns and like do a few little drawing crafty things. And then they would all help make pot stickers from scratch. And that didn't go great. Let's just put it that way. You have 30 hyperactive kids, raw meat and ingredients, and they're learning how to make the pot sticker, you know, the dumpling. And making a dumpling is complicated enough, but when they're hyper 8-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 9-year-olds with noisemakers, by the way, someone had the bright idea of giving them noisemakers. but it was, yeah, they got made and they got cooked, but
and eaten.
Some of them did got eaten. And then and then we all had to bring appetizers. They were asked, you know, every family to bring a Chinese food appetizer of some sort. So there's homemade crab rangoon, which were good, and some fried rice and some the gashu pork, the little pork with the red food dye on it. Uh-huh. You know, that sort of thing. A few different things. So because of Lucy's allergies, I made a big thing of fried rice that was Lucy friendly. So it had the gluten-free soy sauce. It had no egg in it. And no cornstarch or anything, no corn, nothing like that. And just stuff that you could eat. But it was a big batch that I cooked Sunday night. And that most of that got eaten, by the way. I think people ate that up pretty good. But they were, to the credit of the other leaders in the pack, they're very concerned. Lucy's the only one who has food allergies, as far as I know. And so they're always very concerned that there's always, if there's food involved, that Lucy's taken care of, that there's something for her to eat, something for her to eat. Now, obviously, she can't eat the pot stickers, the normal ones, because they're wheat, you know, wheat dough.
The wrappers are wheat.
The wrappers are made of wheat. So they got like a special rice paper for like the spring rolls, and they were going to make those kinds of pot sticker for her, or essentially would have been making spring rolls, I guess. And then they had a whole separate thing for her to like the meat set aside for her and all this other stuff. Never touched it. She just made the pot stickers with everybody else. She made a couple of them. She didn't make that many. The little ones didn't. And then that was that. So they gave it to us to take it home, but it was a bit of a waste to do that. A little bit of. I kept telling them, look, you don't have to do anything special. But to their credit, they really, really wanted to make sure that she was being taken care of. So that I really do appreciate that. But
yeah, very nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to know that people care about that sort of thing. So came home and it was still actually relatively early. We'd eaten, me and Lucy and Anthony, essentially, although Anthony was like still starving. He must be in a growth spurt or something.
Yeah, always.
Oh, because you did weigh him, right? You weighed the kids yesterday?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely grown like a good 3 or 4 pounds.
He's actually weighs more than his older brother now.
Yeah, he's now about 3 pounds, 4 pounds bigger than Ben.
Which I always figured it would happen. Ben is thinner, but a lighter build, and Anthony's got the stocky build. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You can definitely see the genes from the two sides of the families playing out.
Right. And Lucy's, she broke the 40-pound barrier, right?
Lucy's now 42 pounds, so.
7 years old, 42 pounds. She weighs half as much as Anthony, 2 years, two years younger than him.
Yeah.
Essentially. Because he'll turn, Anthony will be 9 next month?
He will be.
Wow. So yeah, that was That was the our week. Busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, I feel like we've just been running all week. So today we should have started back on school. And everyone was just like,
they were
a little bit shell shocked.
It was essentially a 2 week vacation from school.
It was almost 3 weeks, really.
Yeah.
So I told them this. The little kids each got to do a math problem. So Lucy, Ben, and Anthony each did one math problem this morning. And that was all of their morning school.
Right.
Sophie did a whole page because she likes math. And Bella did half an hour of math, which is half as much as she usually does.
Right. She usually does an hour.
And so then that was it. We were done with math. Everything for the morning, and then they played for the rest of the morning, and then this afternoon we did some read alouds,
right? Which we'll get to in a sec.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you though, first, what Sophie said to me this morning when I told her before you got up, I told Sophie like, by the way, we have to get back to schoolwork today. I mean, we're back at school, and she's like, oh, why do we have to start back on school on a Monday? Why does it have to start on a Monday? I said, Sophie, this is training for the rest of your life. You'll be saying this for the rest of your life.
Wait, you had this conversation with her before I got up?
Yes.
Because when I got up, she acted like she had never heard the idea of like, what, we have to do school today? Why didn't you tell me last night? I could have got up.
She pretended that this was news to her?
She pretended like it was total news to her. She was totally shocked and aghast.
Yes, yes. This is the old play mom and dad against each other because they haven't communicated. Right.
I mean, she does have a point. She usually does most of her schoolwork first thing in the morning before everybody's even out of bed.
Yeah.
And so, like, by telling her after I got up.
After everybody's up. Yeah. Well, she does that because she can't do her work at the kitchen table while other people are eating because of the misophonia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's a practical reason. And so.
But she also just really enjoys being, like, first person up. She's a morning person for sure.
She is totally a morning lark.
I don't understand that. But.
I don't know where she came from, but yeah.
Totally. I am so not a morning person. I'm like the opposite of morning person.
So you did read alouds. You started a new read aloud with them.
I actually started. This is really bad. I started it before Christmas. Read one chapter and then put it down for like 3 weeks. I was shocked that anybody even remembered that this book existed. But we started reading Tom Sawyer.
Nice.
So today we got to Tom Sawyer chapter 2, in which Tom Sawyer famously does not paint the fence.
Right. The whitewashing the picket fence.
I love that chapter. It is glorious. And the kids all really responded beautifully to it. They were laughing. They were oohing and aahing and everything just at the appropriate times. I love that story.
That is one of the, well, I mean, that is one of the best pieces of American literature. That's that chapter, not just even just that, the book.
Right. I mean, Tom Sawyer is a great piece of Americana, but the whitewashing chapter is sort of the best part of Tom Sawyer, I think. It's like,
yes.
It's like Mark Twain just like throws it away like in the first. But it establishes Tom's character and just you have to love Tom.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just it's such. Yeah. It's part of our lexicon. It's part of our culture now. I mean, just this character. And I'm glad that they're learning. They're hearing about him. They're learning about him. He's becoming part of their life. And I think the read aloud method works better than. The way I did it in school, which is here's a book, read it, and we'll talk about it in class. Because like, you know, I read this book that you're making me read, and you know, and now they're into it, they're engaged with it. It's funny, it's engaging.
Reading aloud is so fun because we're reading it as a family, as a group, and I try to pick.
But you're doing the reading.
I try to pick from a wide range of age range, you know, books that are more appropriate for Lucy, books that are more appropriate for Bella, but things that everybody can enjoy.
But the thing I think that schools get wrong is that the teacher tries to keep the kids engaged by having them take turns reading.
Oh, no, that's horrible because kids are bad readers. I mean, it's good for kids to have practice reading aloud. I really believe in that. And I do make the kids do some read aloud practice, but usually it's just one-on-one. They read to me. Sometimes the older kids like to read to the younger kids. But I remember one of my favorite teachers in school was when I was in like fifth grade was Mrs. Norman. And one of the things that made Mrs. Norman so awesome was that she read to us. She read us the entire Island of the Blue Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And I remember she would dim the lights in the classroom and we could have a snack and we could lay our heads down on our desks and like close our eyes and be quiet, or we could draw quietly, but we were just supposed to be sitting in there quiet, and she read to us and it was magic.
Right.
We loved it. And that's one of the things that when we were looking at homeschooling, that's one of the things that really drew me to the Charlotte Mason method was read alouds, reading to them, sharing literature with them.
Well, the other part of it, too, is I think most classrooms are just too big. I mean, that's not the fault of the teachers. It's just the nature of schools nowadays, I guess, the class sizes. But when it's just the five of them in the room, or four, if Bella's not part of that particular read aloud, you know, it's smaller, it's more intimate, and so there's more engagement among them. If you know, in a big class of 30 kids, you can kind of get lost in the back. You just kind of hang out and be gazing, looking out the window and not paying attention or hearing anything. But when it's smaller, you know, there's more engagement, I think.
Yeah. I have to say that Bella does have a very bad habit of grabbing the current read aloud and reading ahead because she wants, like, she finished Tom Sawyer
right
over the Christmas break. I think probably within like the first two days or something. I don't know. She grabbed the book, ran off to her room with it and read it. But she's read Tom Sawyer now, so that's
right.
Good.
Now here's Huck Finn.
I'm not sure she's quite ready for Huck Finn yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I taught Huck Finn as a college text.
I think, yeah, that's a, college. it's at least a high school text, Huck Finn is.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe next year. She'll be a freshman next year.
Oh, my. Oh. Anyway, so that's some school.
Oh,
that
also,
what else
while we were on break, I wanted to talk about reading aloud. I actually got an audiobook and listened to like the first third of it. I got Pride and Prejudice.
You did it. You played it right. Out loud as an audible book.
Well, I was going to just get it for myself because I was painting with my new watercolors, which I got for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to listen to something. I got so I went to like listen to the previews, and it was really engaging. All the kids, like just listening to the preview, they all clustered around the table and they were like drawn in. What is this you're listening to? What is
well, it
this?
Helps that the narrator is the same narrator who does The Swallows and Amazon books.
Right. Allison Larkin. She's awesome. So we listened to like a good 20 chapters of Pride and Prejudice over 2 days. And the kids were all really engaged. They really liked it. It's a funny book. There's a lot of really fun dialogue and stuff, and Isabella and Sophia especially really liked it. So we have to find time to listen to the rest of it.
Jane Austen is when you read just her words and you don't have to worry about the various bizarre Hollywood interpretations. Just Jane Austen herself is very witty, very funny, very well done. And so, right. Yeah, I didn't hear a lot of it because I'd be working. But when I'd come out for dinner and you're playing it, you know, to help make dinner, then that would be that you'd sometimes have that playing. And it was fun to hear that. So, yeah, that's good. That's a good way to do it.
You know, and it's really sad because I really did not like Pride and Prejudice the first time I read it when I was in high school. It was presented to me as, oh, it's so romantic and so dreamy. My teacher said it was her favorite book, and that kind of automatically put my back up. Being a teenager. And I was much more interested in reading some fantasy novel at the time or whatever I was reading. I don't remember. And so I grudgingly read Pride and Prejudice and hated every minute of it. And then rediscovered Jane Austen in college a few years later with a teacher who introduced Jane Austen as a great social satirist and really mm-hmm. emphasized the humor. And then I was like, oh, this is supposed to be funny. And it totally changed my views of Austen.
Awesome.
Fortunately, to the better.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Kreider.
So that's what we've been learning. So there is one more food related thing to talk about, which cooking. We haven't done a lot of cooking. We made some pot roast and other, chicken thighs and that sort of thing. It's nothing very all that interesting, except for tonight. We were trying to figure out what to have for dinner. We knew we had a lot of homemade chicken stock in the freezer
and leftover chicken
and leftover
from
chicken.
Last night.
So we were thinking, oh, let's have a chicken noodle soup or something, you know, chicken soup. And you, but you
was,
got inspiration.
Like, yeah, I was like, chicken soup sounds so boring. We've had a lot of soup and I just was not really feeling it. And then suddenly it popped into my head. Chicken coconut.
Yes.
So I looked at a bunch of recipes. This is the way I cook. I Googled a bunch of chicken coconut soup recipes, read about 4 or 5 of them, just kind of skimming the ingredients list.
Mostly Thai inspired.
Yeah, mostly Thai. And then I just sort of cobbled together something based on those ingredients lists.
And what we had on hand.
And what we had in the refrigerator. So this had onions, garlic, ginger, carrots, a potato.
I noticed the potato. Red bell pepper.
So, oh, yeah, the red bell pepper and some radishes, actually, that were left from last night's rice bowls. I just kind of threw in there. A can of coconut cream, some lime, homemade chicken stock, homemade chicken thighs.
And then I added, at the table, because the kids don't like it, I added some, I tried to add in the Thai curry, the Thai red curry, but I think you really got to mix that in like hot water or something, or fry it in the pan a little bit to get some of the flavor going in that, because that didn't really work too well. So then I got my roasted garlic and chili oil. Gosh, why can't I speak? Roasted garlic and chili oil. It's a Japanese condiment. And put that in there. And man, that was really good.
It was good without the condiment,
though. Yeah, yes, yes. But I like to kind of kick it up a notch. And so that was really good. And the kids were, about it. It's like some of them really liked it. Like Sophie liked it. Anthony had a couple bowls. But I don't think Bella or Ben or Lucy were into it.
I saw Bella making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I think Ben had some cinnamon toast.
Right.
Lucy had one bowl and then said she was still hungry but did not want any more soup.
Yeah. So there's lots of leftovers for tomorrow, right?
Oh, this is where I cry, because Sophie was being so very helpful.
I packaged up the leftovers in the quart containers.
And she labeled them with the tape. And then she was carrying
three containers. She was trying to carry three containers.
All at once. And so the end result was that a quart and a half of the chicken soup ended up all over the kitchen floor. I was crying.
Total loss.
I was cleaning it up. Oh, it was so horrible.
Yeah. So we have one quart left, which is yours for tomorrow. You can have the rest of it, because it will be good. Sitting in the fridge overnight will be good for it. The flavors will meld and it'll be even better tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad.
It is very sad.
Seeing all that beautiful soup on the floor.
Yeah. So that was our coconut chicken soup for Epiphany. And I mean, that's the thing I like, is to kind of get out of the box and think of something a little unusual, a little different, that makes use of what we have in hand. And that helps to have a wide variety of things. Oh, the other thing you forgot to mention was the greens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a box of arugula and baby spinach
salad
greens.
Yeah.
And I threw those in. They added a really nice bright spot.
Right.
One of the soups I looked at had
kale
in it. Yeah. And I said, well, I don't have kale, but ooh, I do have other greens.
Yeah. And some carrots you added in there too.
Lots and lots of carrots.
Yeah.
It was very carrot-y.
Yeah. So, and you had, with spices, you added turmeric. What else did you add?
Like I said, I made a paste with the ginger and garlic and fried it up in the oil, which I think adds a really nice aromatic.
Always fry your ginger garlic in oil before adding the stock.
Yeah. Right. So what did I do? I added like a half teaspoon of turmeric, not a lot, just enough for a little bit of flavor. And then I about a half teaspoon of the Thai chili garlic sauce.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a hint of spice, and then a splash, just a very little splash of fish sauce.
Okay. Yeah, that was totally in there.
Then lime juice.
You know, we had in the cabinet, it's some galangal and some lemongrass, ground lemongrass.
Yeah, I was not in the mood for hunting through the spice cabinet. I remembered sort of vaguely that it was there, and I kind of looked around for it and didn't see it and gave up.
But a nice tip is if you go, like when you have the spices like turmeric and the other spices, the hot spices, I mean, turmeric's not spicy, but from like hot places, when you fry up the garlic and ginger in the oil for a little bit, and then you throw in the spices there and let them kind of cook in the oil for a little bit, because they're oil soluble. The oil pulls out the flavors, and then you throw in your stock and your other ingredients, because that really pulls all that flavor out. So really good. So that was dinner tonight. So let's wrap up by talking about what we've been watching or reading. I'm still working on that Brandon Sanderson novel, the third novel of his Stormlight Archive series called Oathbringer. Still really good. Really enjoyed Brandon Sanderson's this series, and I'm kind of looking forward to reading some of his other stuff. Really good. And then I finished this season of Lost in Space, which is, once again, really good. But, man, this family goes to heck on a constant basis. They're really getting they're like from one crisis to another. I can't imagine anyone really being able to survive that. But
and then we were both very excited for the renewal of Doctor Who.
So on Christmas, New Year's Day was the first part of the 2-part season premiere, and then on Sunday was the second part, which we watched both of those. I did a recording with Jimmy Akin today, The Secrets of Doctor Who, if you want to check that out on sqpn.com. You can see what we had to say. But Melanie, what did you think?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some plot holes, but there's always plot holes in Doctor Who.
There's always,
much.
Yes.
So I tried to put the analytical part of my mind kind of on the back burner and say this is just a fun ride. And it was a fun ride.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like the Doctor this first two episodes.
Yeah. I think Jodie Whittaker's settling into the Doctor role now.
Right. She's different from any of the three previous to her, which is fine.
Oh, yeah. She's got her own little style.
In some ways, she reminds me a little bit of either the seventh Doctor, which was Sylvester McCoy from Classic Who, maybe a little bit of the fifth Doctor, Davison. I forget his first name. Slips my mind for a second. But yeah, I mean, it's my favorite character though is Graham, the companion. He's the older guy. Mm-hmm. I love Graham. He's the best. It's like when Donna's granddad Wilf was on.
Liked Donna's Wilf, granddad. He was
Wilf
great.
Was the best. I loved Wilf, and I really like Graham. Graham is awesome too. So I really feel like they've come into their own at the beginning.
I like
season.
The team of three companions too. It's a nice. Yeah. It's a nice balance
and a variety of life experience and
personalities.
Yes.
And I thought that the nice thing about these two episodes was they got to do some fun James Bond spy stuff.
Oh yeah, totally.
Graham with the laser shoes. That was the best. Shoes
and rocket cufflinks.
Oh yeah.
And
it was a lot of fun, really nice homage to,
and the Doctor getting to say to the concierge,
to Bond,
the name is Doctor, the Doctor, like Bond, James
yes,
Bond.
Yes, it yeah. was. It was good. Yeah. Nice Bond homage.
Yes, that was oh, fun. Yeah. And I mean, it was called Spyfall, which is a total takeoff of Skyfall.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of fun. And of the, we won't spoil anything for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, but there's some big reveals in this,
Yeah, I'm trying really hard not to.
Yeah.
To spoil anything.
There's a big oh moment. You see what I did there? Oh. So that was a lot of fun. I started watching this series called on Netflix called The Witcher. Very violent and a bit too revealing. I don't know. It's they're trying to be Game of Thrones. I don't know. And plus, it was so hard to understand what anyone was saying. Everyone's just mumbling. Stop mumbling. I'm totally becoming that old man. Why are you mumbling? Speak up. So that's what I've been watching. There hasn't been a lot else. I mean, apart from Star Wars, The Mandalorian is done. You have to wait till the fall for that.
I know. I'm so sad.
No more Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm, very sad.
I totally predict there's going to be an animated to Disney Plus series featuring Baby Yoda and Babu Freak from Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, totally.
And that will break the internet.
Yeah, pretty much.
People will hedge explode with the cuteness. Babu Freak? Anyway.
Yeah, so I don't really have much interesting to say about what I've been reading. I'm rereading The Dresden Files. I reread a bunch of Mariel Trevor novels. Basically, I think it's Christmas break in my mind, and therefore I'm in comfort reading mood.
Yeah, we talked about that last time, that whole idea of rereading for comfort.
It's still going on. I need to get back into the swing of things, but I'm not there yet.
I wrote a blog post I do an annual end of the year blog post where I review the previous year, the big things that happened, and kind of look forward to the next year. And one of the things I talk about is the books I've read. And one of the things I noticed is I've read a lot of genre fiction, a lot of sci-fi, fantasy, spy thrillers in series that I've been reading, which is fine. Right. But I like to read like balance that with more nonfiction. So I need to bring in more nonfiction. I'm going to pick up some more American Revolutionary War books this year, and I think that might be my next read as a new one by Richard Atkinson, which looked really good.
Interesting.
I'm looking forward to some new reading this year. So that's my
yeah. I think I'm not quite there yet, but one of these days get there.
Well, it's been about an hour, so we should wrap things up. Anything, any last things to say? What are we looking forward to this week? Anything big? I think it's a quiet, as we usually say, I think it's a quiet week.
I think so. I don't really remember. I think we're just, the plan is to kind of ease back into doing school this week, which is going to be tough.
We totally have to remind the girls tomorrow that their scout troop starts up tomorrow. Starts meeting
because they've had a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, so they need to because it's on Tuesdays, so which were all Eves, and so they if we don't prepare them ahead of time, it'll be like panic mode. If we tell them,
we should have told them tonight.
Yeah, oops. if we tell them like tomorrow afternoon, it'll be like I haven't mentally prepared for it. So
we still might have panic because they didn't mentally prepare tonight.
Yeah, and they're probably asleep by now. But
yeah.
We'll tell them first thing. they'll live. So, yeah. All right, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
So before we go, I do want to, as we always do, take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create Raising the Bets, including Paul O, David M, Michael V, John G, and Amanda M. And I got to point out that StarQuest, which is the network that I work for and that this podcast is part of, is a nonprofit. We have a mission to explore the intersection of the Catholic faith and pop culture. And so we are a nonprofit, and donations are tax deductible to the full extent of the law. Consult your accountant. But the fact is we live on donations, not on advertising or other things. And we have a cost to do this. So we really do appreciate everyone who helps us by becoming donors. So their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Raising the Bets and all the shows at StarQuest. And you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. So if you have anything you want to comment on for our discussion, you can give us some feedback at sqpn.com/bets. That's BETTS. Or the SQPN Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia, or via email to bets, BETTS, at sqpn.com. And I'll put links to the various books and other things we talked about on our show notes on SQPN. If you have not done so, please remember to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio, your favorite podcast app, or on the SQPN YouTube channel, where you should make sure to hit the bell on YouTube to get notifications. Until next time, I'm Dom Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
Thank you for listening to Raising the Bets on StarQuest.